Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. We love the Lord's Day so much, we sometimes regret that the Lord's Day is only one day a week. Because if we could, we'd come here 7 days a week, wouldn't we?
Amen.
We love the Lord that much, and we love being around one another that much. If you're visiting with us today again, as was echoed earlier, thank you for being with us. We're always happy to have you with us, assembling with us in our services. Last week, we began a discussion based on this acronym, D-A-C-A, DACA. And to those who were here last Lord's Day will know that DACA was an acronym for a training program that I was in 1972. And DACA simply means, does anyone care anymore? Think about the world that we live in and how cruel everything is that we see, whether it's on TV, listening to the radio, in our newspapers. There's so much lack of civility. And this lesson really comes from, the meat of this comes from Brother Aubrey Johnson. Aubrey was a preacher, a writer, and a lecturer, and preached for a church in Nashville. And some of you have read many of Aubrey Johnson's works, and I have followed him for decades and really appreciate it. But Aubrey talks about a plea for civility in the world that we live in, and that's so important. And one of the questions that I posed last week was, where do we begin this plea for civility with each other? One person, one thoughtful person at a time. We also learned that love is the greatest command, yet what is love but kindness? Kindness that stems from thoughtfulness. And you would think, well, those are things that we really should be engaged in every day, in every aspect of our lives. And I like this thought that I shared last week, and it came from a book that I read that some of you may be familiar with. It came out in 1993. The author is Robert Fulghum. And the title of the book was simply, I'm just kind of refreshing from last week for those who weren't here, All I Really Needed to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. And I can go back to those of you who may have been fortunate to go to Weitch's Kindergarten in Petersburg, and some are saying, I heard about it. Well, for a long time, I knew I went there every day, Monday through Friday, and I appreciated what they were teaching me, Mrs. Weitch and Mr. Weitch and their aides. I had no idea that my mom and daddy were paying them to do that stuff. I thought they were just sending me away for the day, hanging out. But among the things that I remember are this, things that have carried me now for, goodness, more than 7 decades. 5 very polite words that should become a common part of who we are. Please. Thank you. Excuse me. I'm sorry. You're welcome. And these are 5 things that I teach in premarital counseling. If you want your marriage to work, it's important that you maintain civilness. I shared last week also that our goal and our desire ought to be that we are a Christ-centered church where everybody is valued, because we are mindful of one another. And if you were listening attentively, Jairus shared in his prayer. He said, "Be mindful of the sacrifice that our Lord has made for us as we begin this communion service to honor him. Be mindful, be considerate, be thoughtful, be appreciative of what Jesus did for us." In other words, Jesus was simply suggesting and encouraging us to be considerate. Be considerate of one another. And we know that considerate behavior, civil behavior, is a benefit of Christianity. Because as Christians, we know that we live in this world. But we're also taught very seriously that we are not what? Of this world. We are different. We should be viewed as different. And people should see the glory of God in how we live, how we conduct ourselves, and how we carry one another. We pointed out in closing last week that we should consider the key to love when we profess to be who we are in his name, to be Christians. According to Jesus, the key to successful living is how you treat other people. How do you treat other people? As Christians, it shouldn't be any question about how we treat other people. In Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, he provided heaven's number one rule for healthy relationships. He said in Matthew 7:12, "Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets." The golden rule declares that the basic skill behind Christian living, we talked about these two words last week. We won't go as deep into it today, but empathy and sympathy. Empathy and sympathy. The language of love we talked about. Paul instructed Christians to think of one another as we go about our daily activities. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Paul said, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each one esteem the other better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for your own interest, but also for the interest of others." And you see, spiritually healthy people are happier people. Spiritually healthy people have a balance that's appropriate concern for ourselves and for concern for others. Mark chapter 10, verse 31. And the lack of civility we see in our world today is because people don't know the Lord. We've heard the old cliche, "I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day." And you are the living sermon that people are watching. They look to see how you behave and how you act and what you say and what you do. So be truly considerate of one another. When I treat you well because I'm concerned about my image and my reputation, my actions are self-serving. I should treat you well simply because God said for us to love our neighbors. God said for us to love one another. And with that love comes a mutual respect, a mutual act of kindness for one another. We talked about the source of love last week, and we said, think about the source of love. And Jesus put it like this: every healthy tree bears good fruits, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit, Matthew 7:17. And in James, we also find similar wording. You will recognize them by their fruits. People will know you're a Christian if you conduct and carry yourself in that way, in that manner. Paul said in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, He said, do good to all. Be good to all men. And he went on to specify, he said, especially to those who are of the household of faith. So a life of goodness is or ought to be the goal of every follower of Christ, living a life of goodness. The contrast to that is evil behavior, evil conduct. And we know that when we look around the world that we live in, we see a lot of evil. Evil increases the world's misery. So our role as Christians, our duties, our jobs, our responsibilities are in high competition because of the evil in the world. We talked about the benefits of love. The benefits of a caring life are self-evident. Without civility, without a meaningful way of caring ourselves, life is disappointing and disturbing. But with kindness, it is not only bearable, but it is beautiful. The wonderful thing is that God allows us to choose how we will carry ourselves for the day, doesn't he? God doesn't use his power to force us to be who we ought to be. We were created to make choices, right and wrong. What choice will you make? And I think lastly, we close with the conundrum of love. That is the confusing and difficult part of the question. And yes, we know that it can be difficult. And one of the things, avoid people that are just uncivil, period. Don't allow yourself to be dragged down in their behavior. The Apostle Paul cautioned that in 1 Corinthians 15:13, Paul cautioned that evil companions corrupt good morals. You may be a person of good morals, but when you're spending time hanging around with evil folks, you're going to become corrupted by them. He also warned against being unequally yoked together with unbelievers, 2 Corinthians 6:14. And think about those things today as we try to wrap up DACA part 2. Be mindful of one another. Be aware of one another. Be alive to one another. Be alert to the needs of one another. Be considerate of one another. Be regardful of one another. I mentioned last week from one writer, but Ralph Waldo Emerson said this, you cannot do a kindness too soon, for you never know how soon it will be too late. In other words, the old cliche, you only get one opportunity to make a first impression, don't you? And that's what Emerson is saying. You cannot do a kindness too soon, for you never know how soon it will be too late. If we lift up Christ and fix our eyes on him, something new and something wonderful can happen in our time. Like at Pentecost, the blood of Christ, the gospel of peace can bring dying people closer together to praise the glorious grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Ephesians 1:6. In times of stress, people are prone to lash out at their neighbors. Watching one of the news shows this week, and a congressional panel was interviewing our Attorney General of the United States. And it can be very tense, and I wouldn't want to be in that room because it's high pressure in there. But that phrase, in times of stress, people are prone to lash out. There was a lot of lashing out. It didn't just happen to be in that room. We see it every day in the world that we live in. People lash out at their neighbors. People lash out at their partners in life. People lash out at their brethren in the church, rather than probe into their own hearts to see what may be wrong with them. In times of tension, may we search our hearts for a way forward that will be pleasing to God, that will honor his word, and that will bless our fellow man who's on the receiving end of whatever it is that we're saying or doing. When feeling pressured, may we elevate our Lord rather than elevate our own individual differences. I remember I was in a meeting once, and I was the subject of the conversation. Remember that tense conversation? And my boss, my supervisor, was with me, and his boss, the big boss, was attacking me in every way that he could. And I remember he jumped up out of his chair behind his desk. He jumped up with such force, he knocked the high-rise chair over. And I stood up, and I just simply put my hands together, and I started quoting the Lord's Prayer. And he said to my boss, "I told you, he's crazy, he's crazy." And my boss said, "No, sir, he's actually praying for you." That's what we should be doing when we find ourselves in those tense moments to where we just don't know what's going to happen next. Petition God in prayer to give you your next move. That's civil behavior. That's answering the question, does anybody care anymore? I showed that man. I didn't respond as he did. I responded with the grace of God. John chapter 12, verse 32 says, "And I," Jesus said, "and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people unto me." And maybe that's what I was hoping to do that day, to get that man to see that the God I served was bigger than all the power he thought he had. I lifted up Christ at that moment. My boss saw it. My supervisor saw it. Too bad that his boss, the big boss, did not see it. Jesus didn't promise to resolve all human differences, but he guaranteed that hearts focused on him will grow closer as a result. You can't go wrong when you put God into the stresses of your life. Draw closer to him. Paul said this, as was read in the scriptural text this morning, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 through 10. "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth." Ephesians 1, 7 through 10. May we promote civility. May we promote consideration as we prepare in our journey for eternity. May we lift up our Lord. May we proclaim redemption through his blood. May we declare the riches. May we declare his grace. May we unite all things in him to the praise of his glory. In other words, may we lift up our Lord. May we proclaim redemption through his blood. May we declare the riches of his grace. May we unite all things in him to the praise of his glorious grace. God wants us to be mindful of one another. And God's answer to incivility is to be considerate of one another. Have an awareness of others, of their presence. Be aware and conscious of their feelings and their needs. This is fundamental to a society that is in dire need of civil behavior. And to send the Christ-likeness of our spirit to their souls. Let them see the glory of Christ reflected in how we live. This is important. Before you can love others, you got to first notice what their needs are. You can't just look through people as if they're transparent and aren't there. You must see their needs if you're going to love them. Before you can love others, you must notice them. Sin comes from overlooking other people. It's sinful to overlook the needs of other people. It's sinful to overlook their pain. It's sinful to overlook their very presence. Those who ignore or abuse people displease God. We say we want to live a life pleasing to God, then recognize the needs of other people. The Lord filled the Bible with admonitions to be mindful of others. And it's striking how many one another passages there are in God's word. We're citizens of heaven. And citizens of heaven possess a mindset that distinguishes them, us, as children of God. Philippians 2 and 5. And as you meditate on these passages that I'll share and faithfully practice them, you will increasingly resemble the Lord. Jude 2. Thus, heaven's antidote to rudeness is simple. Follow Jesus. The more you walk in his footsteps, the more thoughtful you are. The more thoughtful you are, the kinder you become. The kinder you become, the more heaven comes to earth. May mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to each of you and through you. Jude 2. Bearing with one another. How do I bear with someone else? Ephesians 4 and 2 says, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another. Be positive with one another. Colossians 3, 13. Bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgive each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Colossians 3, 13. Encourage one another. How? We see the Nike slogan with the check that says, just do it. Encourage one another. How? Just do it. Encourage. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. That's optimistic coming from Thessalonians, the writer. He says, just as you're doing. And he's assuming we're already doing it. Do it. Just do it. Encourage one another. Hebrews 10:25. Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And if you've been on this earth long enough, you're seeing the day draw near and near and near more every day, aren't we? Greet one another. How? Just do it. Y'all may go out and buy the Nike shoes or something with the check mark on it now to remember that. Just do it. Romans 16:16. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. Romans 16:16. 1 Corinthians 16:20. All the brothers send you greetings. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Just do it. Greet one another with a holy kiss. 2 Corinthians 13:12. Greet one another with the kiss of love. Peace to all of you who are in Christ. 1 Peter 5:14. How? Just do it. Greet one another. Love one another. How? Just do it. Not kinda, not sorta, not pretend, not facade, but genuine like Christ. Just do it. John 13:34 says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. How? Just do it. John 13:35. By this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. How? Just do it. Have love for one another. Romans 12:10. Love one another with brotherly affection. I like this. Outdo one another in showing honor. Don't just stop. Go the extra mile. Outdo it. How? Just do it. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. 1 Peter 1:22. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. A pure heart. How? Just do it. 1 John 3:11. For this is the measure that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. How? Just do it. 1 John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Beautiful song. We know the words to it. Love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. How? Just do it as it's described. 1 John 4:12. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. How? Just do it. And now I ask you, not as though, and this is 2 John 1:5, and the writer saying, and now I ask you, not as though I were writing you a new commandment, but the one we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. How? Just love. do it. There are some negative passages. I've given you the positive ones, and I'll close out with some of the negative ones and some miscellaneous. But here's a negative passage. James tells us this in James 4 and 11. It's a negative passage, but done right, it can be positive. Do not speak evil against one another. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge. James 4, 11. Romans 14, 13. Therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer. We used to do it, but he says not any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother. Romans 14, 13. Some miscellaneous one another passages. John 13, 14. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Just do it. Romans 12, 16. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Romans 15, 7. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Galatians 5, 13. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Ephesians 5:19. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. Ephesians 5:21, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Colossians 3:16, a verse familiar to all of us. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing songs, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Hebrews 3:13. But exhort one another every day. Lift one another up every day as long as it is called today, that none of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And finally, Hebrews 10:24. And I'll repeat this one in the end. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Going back to those five words in the beginning, please, thank you, you're welcome, and so on. Stir up one another with words of love. Show hospitality to one another and do so without grumbling. Do it with love. 1 Peter 4 and 9. Staying in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. 1 John 1:7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. That's the lesson this morning. The invitation hymn will be sung in just a moment. There may be some here today that may have sin in their life, public sin or private sin, and need the prayers and encouragement of the church. You'll have that opportunity to respond when the hymn is sung. There may be those here this morning who have not put Christ on in baptism. The plan of salvation is simple. What must I do to be saved? I must hear the word, the gospel of Christ, Romans 10:14. I must believe that gospel that I've heard, John 20:30-31. I must repent of past sins, Luke 13:3. I must confess Christ as the Son of God, Matthew 10:32. I must be buried with Christ in baptism, Mark 16:15-16. And I must continue to a steadfast life, steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, Acts 2:42. Whatever your need may be this morning, you have the opportunity to respond as we stand and sing the hymn.